All right, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to welcome everybody to a live edition of Omega Man Radio here on Thursday, May 8th, 2014. It's with great honor that I bring back to you Minister David Ells of Unleavened Bread Ministries. Brother David, it's been a long time. How are you doing tonight?
I'm blessed, Shannon. I'm very blessed.
Well, praise the Lord. I enjoyed speaking to you prior to the show, and folks, we've asked David to pray about coming on twice a month and preaching. So more details to follow on that. If you're here for the first time, welcome aboard. We're doing nightly broadcast again Monday through Saturday, starting at 7. Later tonight, we're going to have Carl Henderson and then Frank Marzullo. So don't change that dial. Without any further delay, though, Brother David, would you like to open up in prayer tonight?
Certainly. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, these are very important times, the most important in all of history, Lord, since the Lord Jesus was crucified. And, Father, in these days, you're going to perfect your bride. And, Lord, in these days, you're going to choose your bride. Few understand or know that. And Lord, great manifestations, great power, great anointing, great wisdom is going to go forth from the man-child and bride ministries that you're about to raise up. And Lord, we ask you to open the understanding of the brethren that are joining us tonight, Lord, that they would understand that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus that we are called to. And all the church is not going to manifest that, but parts of it will. And Lord, we're just asking you in Jesus' name to put this motivation in your people to run after you, to cast down vain imaginations that are just distracting them from the high calling of God. And thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord, for finishing the good work that you have started in all of us. We give you praise and we give you thanks because of what Jesus did. Amen.
Amen. Brother David, as you get ready to speak tonight, what would you like to title your broadcast?
Well, I guess I would like it to be Get Ready to Be in the Bride or Get Ready to Go into Captivity.
Sounds like a good one to me. You've got the next hour. Take it away, brother.
Okay. Thank you, Shannon. God bless you. Well, saints, you... I just want to point out to you 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. It says, now these things happened unto them by way of example. The word example there means a type or a figure. These things happened unto them by way of a type or a figure. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Many prophecies in the Old Testament. They were written as prophecies. They were written as parables, too, that needed to be interpreted. Many people are hung up in the letter. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In these revelations, in the Old Testament, is the whole story of the end time. There is more written about the end times in the Old Testament by far than there is in the New Testament. But everything in the Old Testament has to agree with the New Testament, or you got the wrong interpretation, right? So if everything that happened unto the Jews, and he was speaking to the Corinthians, Gentiles, right? If everything that happened unto them was a type and a shadow for the Gentile church, then we ought to pay attention because those parables are telling us very plainly and they speak very loudly. You know, the church likes to oversimplify things because they're not very deep in the word. And usually oversimplifying lets the old man live. And if you let the old man live, you're not going to have the new man coming to maturity. That's just as simple as it can be. Jesus said if you don't lose your life, you're not going to gain your life. We are here to lose our life. We're here to have the renewed mind of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Into what or into who? Into Jesus Christ. You know, we call ourselves the body of Christ, but the one who lives in the body of Christ is Christ himself. It's the Christ of the Bible. It's not the Christ of modern day hypocritical Christianity. So if it is a type or a figure, here's a doctrine that's oversimplified, and that is, who is the bride? It's not hard to find out if you really want to know. All you got to do is read. Now, in the New Testament, it appears to some people that the bride is the whole church. But let me say that the whole church has the position of the bride, just as they all have been perfected in Jesus Christ. They have the position of perfection, but that does not mean that they're going to manifest it. We've been put here to find out who is going to manifest the fruit of Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. People think that the only thing that's important is position. No, position is given to you so that you can exercise faith in it, so that you can come into the image of it. That's the purpose. So many people, while they're thinking all they have to do is have position in Christ, they're not manifesting any fruit of Jesus Christ, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, the church has that position, but they overwhelmingly do not manifest that, and they will not manifest that, because all of the types and shadows of the Scriptures tell us otherwise. Read the book of Esther. It's a prophecy of the end times. Esther was chosen out of all the fair virgins to be the bride of the King of Kings, Ahasuerus, who was the King of Kings in that day, a type of our Lord. And Vashti, who was called to come before the king, refused. And when she refused, the king decided to choose from all the fair maidens. Who was it that refused to come before the king, by the way? Well, it was the overwhelming majority of the Jews in Jesus' day. He was the king. He was the King of Kings. He came. He called them. They did not come, as he spoke in many parables. They overwhelmingly did not come. There was an elect group that did come. Praise be to God. And they are the forefathers of the church. Praise God. So, but everything that happened unto them back there in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow for us to pay attention to. Here's a type and a shadow. Well, I started pointing out Esther. Esther is a good example. Song of Solomon is a good example of the bride. There are 70 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number, but my love, my undefiled, the Prince of Peace said, is but one. And that was the Shulamite. The perfected one, the bride, the one all the queens and concubines wanted to look at. Because, you know what? If they looked at her, they found out this is what God likes. You know, who is it that God loves? Well, who is it that loves God? Those that keep His commandments. That's the only way you're going to be in the bride, is to keep His commandments. You say, well, salvation is by faith, David. That's right. But when you exercise faith in God's promises, guess what you get? Manifestation. If you don't have any faith, if you just have head knowledge, and you just want to go into the kingdom as you are, rather than lose your life and gain your higher life, then you're not manifesting the bride. Song of Solomon's very plain. The bride was a fanatic. She ran after the Lord. The rest of them were ho-hum about Him, you know. At Psalm 45, another very good example of the bride. She came to the king in embroidered work and gold and so on and so forth, you know. But then it said the virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought unto the king. Let me talk to you a little bit about the marriage ceremony, the Jewish marriage ceremony. The bride is not the virgins. The virgins are escorts to the bride at the end of the marriage feast to escort the bride and the groom to the groom's home. Now, we know what the groom's home is, right? Heaven, right? That's at the end of a seven-day marriage feast. Seven-day marriage feast. So, at the beginning, you know what the 7 days are? The 70th week of Daniel. That's the marriage feast. When the groom is going to be feeding the bread and the wine of Jesus Christ, and the bride is going to be eating it up, and many of the people who are invited to this ceremony are going to be eating it up, because there's going to be a great revival, a great revival. Hallelujah. So, this marriage feast, obviously the bride is chosen before the marriage feast starts, right? If the marriage feast is the last 7 days, or the 70th week of Daniel, or the last 7 years before the groom and the bride go to the groom's home, which is the type and the shadow, clearly, very clearly, then the bride is chosen before the 7 days. Okay, so you know what John the Baptist said when Jesus came and started manifesting the Son of God in the midst of the people of God, and people were drawn to him supernaturally? He said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." Everything that happened in the Gospels is going to happen again, except on a much larger scale. The same thing is going to happen. History only repeats according to the Word of God. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. And by the way, folks, if history only repeats, God's people are not going to escape the tribulation, because it's never happened before. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, all of the beast kingdoms, God's people went through that for purification, for crucifixion, for to bring them to repentance. It's no different. It's going to happen again. Nobody's flying away. Okay, even the man-child ministry is caught up to the throne of God, but David's throne was upon the earth, and it's very plain that this is where the authority of the throne is going to be manifested. Okay? Okay, so yes, there is a man-child ministry, which is a reformer ministry that has been physically born. The ministry itself has not been born yet, but it's very soon to happen. This is where we are on the time frame. It's very soon to happen. The next thing also that's going to happen is the bride is about to be chosen. There's been a separation happening in heavenly places. And I'll just give you a for instance. Let me say this first. When you read, Isaiah, Jeremiah, you see two Jerusalems, two definite parables of two Jerusalems. One of them is totally apostate, and its leaders is totally apostate. Jerusalem obviously was the leadership of the people of God. But then you also see this glorious Jerusalem that's born again from above, blessed of God, perfected and protected, you know, like when the Assyrian beast, all seven heads, by the way, of the beast of the world empire are still with us. It's just that their seed has multiplied many times over, and they're all together in the UN, all seven heads of that beast. And, of course, the beast is going to make war on the saints. Well, Esther's the story of that, the beast making war on the saints to destroy the people of God. But the bride escaped because the bride was in the king's house. Okay? Now, you know when the Assyrian beast came in and conquered all of the northern 10 tribes, all of Judah? They came up to Jerusalem, and guess what? When they attempted to take out Jerusalem, they were taken out, 185,000 of them, and they left, and he was slain. See, it's not going to happen. The bride has already been through her tribulation, her persecution, has endured much hatred from the worldly people. So has the man-child. The man-child, even before the woman goes into the wilderness for the first 3.5 years in Revelation chapter 12, the man-child is attacked by the dragon to try to take him out. Exactly the way Jesus was, the man-child of his day, was attacked by the dragon, Herod, to take him out. It wasn't possible for them to take him out, but a lot of his brethren were taken out. Did you notice? And Joseph too. Joseph went into prison like Jesus went and preached to the souls in prison. Joseph was a type of Jesus. He too. The man, here's where we are in the end times, folks. The dragon, he's not yet entered into the wilderness, which is the tribulation, but the dragon is attempting to take out the man child. That's the facts. Okay? Gonna fail. It's going to fail. It's predicted to fail. It's history, and history always repeats that it will fail. It will fail. But they will succeed in crucifying this man-child ministry, this corporate ministry that's going to go forth, that is to lead the woman, much like David led Jerusalem over Israel. That whole kingdom parable is being fulfilled. The Davids in our day is this reformer ministry that's going to go forth in the power and anointing of Jesus with signs and wonders and miracles to bring the bride into the fullness and the woman, which is the whole body of Christ, into the fullness of Jesus Christ. We got an awesome, you wouldn't want to escape, folks. If you knew what was coming, you wouldn't want to escape. And in fact, if you did escape before this crucifixion comes, you probably wouldn't be ready for the kingdom of God. Okay, so let me say this. Those two parables that we see here of the two Jerusalems, they're going on at the same time. I'm giving you revelation knowledge of what the Lord gave me. These are both happening at the same time. The first parable was the apostates of Jerusalem who wrongly led the people of God, were, because of their apostasy, turned over to the beast kingdom, who took them captive and took them into bondage. Okay, the other parable is those who are spiritually first fruits of coming out of bondage to the old man, to the beast. Do you know that the beast is more than just some man that's going to show up with 7 heads and 10 horns? Please, give me a break. Go and find anything like that in the Bible. This is an oversimplification if there ever was one, and it's totally wrong. Listen, saints, the 7 heads and the 10 horns are a corporate body in the earth that are made up of all 7 heads that ruled and made war over the people of God: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, and revived Rome. And those are with us today to make war against the saints. In other words, the beast is the whole world. The body of the beast and the body of Christ are antithesis. They are the opposites, you know. They are making war, different kind of war. Some people in the body of Christ think they're going to make a physical war out of this, and brother, are they going to lose big time. It is not going to happen. They are not going to win. God is not on their side. They will lose. God will purify the body of Christ from these people. Okay? I want to get to my point. So I'm trying to go fast. You may have to listen to this again. Okay? So these two parables are happening at the same time. The apostates in the leadership of God's people are going to be taken into captivity, and the people under them who have learned no better. And the righteous people, the righteous leadership, which is this born from above Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem that Paul said we were members of in Hebrews. See, people don't know about that Jerusalem because they got their eyes on that physical Jerusalem over in the Middle East. It's in total apostasy. Okay? So there is a spiritual Jerusalem. The whole kingdom has been repeated in the New Testament. Nobody's noticing. But, okay, so where are we? Okay, so this kingdom is first going to be fully manifested in the first fruits, which is the man-child ministry, who is to lead the bride into the fullness of Christ, just like Jesus did with the bride in his day. And Jesus is coming to be manifested. See, what is first fruits? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. So who is Christ in you? Is it the Christ of the Bible, or is it the Christ of modern day religion? Well, obviously it's the Christ of the Bible, and everything he has said, we must obey. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? You know, we must obey. He has called us to obedience. In obedience, the bride is going to be chosen. The one that is obedient to the word, not their ambitions, not their fears, not all the things that motivate people, obedience to the word of God. This is how the bride is going to be chosen. And it's going to be before the marriage feast. Okay? So, here we are, the marriage feast is the tribulation. And before the tribulation, there is a culling of many people going on right now. Now, first I want to tell you about this dream. We've got many dreams and visions that are in agreement concerning the bride and so on and so forth. Wonderful revelations. Recently, Eve Brast had a dream that I'll just share the highlights. There was this white building. Now, before this dream, she had a dream of the white building and the red building representing sin and the people of God who are in sin, and the white building, those who are walking in righteousness. So there was this white building. And on the top floor, the Lord sometimes uses me as the David ministry. It's not because I'm anybody. It's just because he uses parables like that. Eve, you know who Eve was? Eve was the bride of the first Adam. Who is Jesus? He's the last Adam. So Eve represents the bride of Adam. So we've received parables that the Lord has given us interpretation to. So anyway, the bride and the man-child were on this highest floor. Excuse me, first, the man-child was on the highest floor speaking to the people. And the bride, who was being typed by Eve in this parable, was climbing the spiral staircase towards the top floor. She knew she had to stop and go to the restroom before she could go to the top floor. And you know what a restroom is, right? It's to get rid of waste, right? Paul called it dung. He was talking about his old life, all of his old religious life, all of the foolishness that he got under apostasy. He counted it as dung, you know, something to get rid of, to leave behind you, you know. So she, after she went to the restroom, she was able very quickly to climb these stairs up to just underneath the man-child ministry. She saw me as David speaking to the people. Then she realized that there were other people that were on this top floor, but in a separate room, okay? They were listening to what David was saying. They were very happy and joyous. And but in a few moments, she noticed that they were complaining and griping and saying, "We don't want to hear this." Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. One thing that the man-child ministry is going to share, and that is the crucified life. And many people don't want to hear this. So as the dream progressed, these people just scattered. They departed. The only one left was Eve and David. And she kept saying in the dream, she said, no one's left but me. I'm the only one left. And, of course, she represents the bride. You know what the top floor is for Christianity? It is Mount Zion. Not physical Mount Zion, spiritual Mount Zion that Paul spoke about. That heavenly Jerusalem that's being born from above as the Word of God comes down and enters into people's hearts and they manifest Jesus Christ. You see, because people who are humble to the Word, they're good ground for the Word, they're going to bear that fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. It's the fruit of Jesus. By the way, in that parable of Matthew 13, the seed there, in many places there, is the word sperma. Do you know what the Word of God is? It's His sperma. It's what goes into the womb of your heart and recreates the Son of God in you. If you're humble to it, you're good ground to it, you don't think that you know more than God, you don't think that your religion knows more than God, you're just listening to the Word, you're humbling yourself to the Word, that's the quickest way to escape like Esther escaped in the king's house. Because Haman made war on the saints, was planning to wipe them out. And if it hadn't have been for Esther and Mordecai, which means little man, man-child, the whole parable there is all about the end times, folks. We have a book out. If you'd like to go and read it, it's the Man-Child Bride Prophecies is the name of it. It's on our site, UBM1.org or UnleavenedBreadMinistries.org. The Man-Child Bride Prophecy. And also there's another book there. It's everything on our site's free. You can donate if you want, but everything is free. Okay, Hidden Manna for the End Times, an astounding book full of revelation given through word of knowledge and word of wisdom. You will grow an end time understanding very quickly, but I'm not here to give a commercial. So let me say this, that these two parables are going to happen. You're going to be in one of them or you're going to be in the other one. You're either going into captivity to the beast, which is nothing less than all lost mankind, and your flesh. Did you know your flesh is against God? Did you know your flesh can't go to heaven? Did you know that you have to lose your life down here? There's no way you can regenerate that flesh. It's at enmity with God, meaning it's the enemy of God. Your flesh is a member of the body of the beast. Just like all lost mankind is a member of the body of the beast. All seven heads and all ten horns, which is ten continental divisions of the whole world. All of that. You know, when you go into captivity to the beast, what that represents? It represents you given over to your flesh. When your flesh conquers you, you won't know you. Nobody else will know you either. It happens. I've seen it happen. And I want to tell you that that's just the beginning, because there is a physical beast out there. That's just the body, not just the soul, but the body of the beast out there that is ready to make war on those Christians who have been serving their flesh, because they have to go to the cross. No cross, no crown. That's the way it is. They have to go to the cross. Every time God's people rebelled, He raised up a beast to come against them. Now He's raising up a worldwide beast, because He has a worldwide people, not just a little place in the Middle East over there. And they're going to make war on the saints. They're going to crucify the saints. You know how you can escape it? Die now. Nobody can escape death. We have to go through death, burial, and resurrection. That's what your baptism was all about, is confessing, this is mine, this death, burial, and resurrection. I receive it by faith. And the water of the Word puts to death the old life as you humble yourself to the Word. That's what the waters of baptism represent. Some people just get wet when they get baptized. That's all they get, because there's no faith in it. They're not disciples of Christ. They're not running after Jesus. They don't want to be the Word made flesh like Jesus did. Okay? So, in Eve's dream, she kept saying after that, she kept saying, I'm the only one left. Won't David be disappointed? Well, unless you realize who she represents, the only ones on the top floor, the only ones in Jerusalem, my friends, in a type and shadow, is the bride, because John said that Jerusalem was the bride. That's what he said. But it wasn't just any Jerusalem, it was the one that was being born out of heaven. The heavenly Jerusalem, not the physical one over there that's in bondage with her children, as Paul said. That was just the type and the shadow. Forget about the type and the shadow. What about the real thing? The real thing is being born out of heaven as the Word from the Son of God, the bread and the wine of His life, comes down out of heaven and gives life to you as you partake of it, as you eat it. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you, Jesus said. So these two parables are going to be fulfilled. Which one of them are you going to be in? That's my question. And that's not a question before God. He already knows, but it's going to be proven. Okay, so three times I think she said in that dream, I'm the only one left, the only one left, the only one left on the top floor, the only one left in Mount Zion is going to be the bride and the man child. You know what happened to the rest of them? They were all taken into captivity. And that's what happened with the Assyrian invasion. By the way, all seven heads are types and shadows of the end time. Each one of them shows a little bit different picture of the beast conquering God's people. But they all of it fits together like a puzzle. Don't leave any of the pieces out, and you'll have lots of truth, you see. So the Assyrian Empire, they conquered everything in Israel, even Judah, but they could not conquer the bride. When they came up to attack the bride, God smote them, because the bride represented purity in that case and righteousness. in that case. Now, there is a bride on the earth, and there's a false bride on the earth that the apostate harlot has put forward, you see. But there's a real bride on earth that is holy and righteous and looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in the sky, but in their hearts. This is the most important thing. The Lord is coming in two ways. He's coming as an epiphany, which is a shining forth of Him from us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then He's coming, and only then is He coming as a parousia, which is His physical presence. You see, He is coming for a bride that's like Him. He's coming for a bride that is the body of Christ. Christ is the one that lives, the Christ of the Bible. Don't add to and don't take away from the Bible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you got a Jesus that don't look like the one you read in the Bible, He's a false Jesus. And you're following a false religion. Come out from among them and be you separate. In the name of Jesus. Okay? You're not going to escape unless you obey. If you think that's optional to obey, you don't understand. The reason that He gave us the promises is so we could exercise faith in the promises, He in turn could put in us the will and the desire and the power to obey. Obedience, faith is a means to an end. Obedience is the end. Did you ever notice, whenever Jesus talks about coming back, He's going to judge people according to their works, not according to their faith. Because I will show you my faith by my works, He said in James, right? If you don't have the works, you don't have the fruit, because the fruit is the works. Go and look at it. It's the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is also the works of the Spirit. If you don't have the works of Jesus Christ, He said, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Jesus said, the people who believe in Him will have His works. If anybody says that they abide in Christ, let them walk as He walked, we are told. Don't buy dead religion. There's lots of it out there. There was in Jesus' day. Every denomination rejected Jesus when He came, and they're doing it today. Now, let me just share a few things here about why I can tell you about the bride, and why I tell you what I can tell you about the bride is so. God confirmed it. You know God confirms His word with signs and wonders? Let me give you an example. Back in, it was 2 o'clock in the morning on December the 30th of 2011. I woke up and I immediately fell into a trance. And the Lord touched my neck, and I felt a strong anointing come into me. And something like this happened once before when I was asked the Lord to strengthen me to go on a conference tours, which I was going doing across the nation in large cities and so on and so forth. And the Lord did that. He came and He anointed me and strengthened me to be able to do that. Well, He spoke to me to share with you, the people of God, of getting dressed up as a bride by being obedient to His commands. About the coming of the marriage feast, which begins the last 7 days or 7 years before going to the groom's home in heaven. Let me say this. He told me that time was almost up to be ready, and that some were not redeeming the time. He said some have already been rejected. Others must make some steps to keep from being rejected and be in line for the prize of the high calling of God. The Lord spoke of simple steps to take to get ready, but that some would not be willing to take them because of pride and rebellion. He spoke of bringing all darkness or hidden sins into the light so that they would be destroyed, by confessing our sins one to another so that we may be healed and cleansed. And He spoke of those things. And then the next day, I started getting confirmations of people about my teaching about the bride. Here's one. I'm going to share it with you. This was given to Eddie Brast, and Eve was giving the relating it to us. She said, God has really given my husband Eddie a hunger to read and study the Word and a desire to devour the UBM teachings. He listens to them all day at home in the evenings on our computer and to some of the teaching CDs in his truck while working. The Father is working a quick work in him in these last hours. This morning he went out to his truck to start it up and the CD player, which only holds one CD at a time, and was playing one of the UBM teachings. Eddie ejected the CD to bring it into the house so I could clean it, and because he wanted to put a different UBM teaching in. Well, when he ejected the CD, the radio usually comes on, but this time David's voice was still coming out of the speakers with no CD in the player. He pushed eject again to make sure nothing else was in the CD player. Eddie came in the house all excited and said, "Here's a miracle for you. David is still teaching through the speakers in my truck, and there's no CD in the player. Go out and listen." Well, I could hear it from inside our house because it was very loud, and I heard David say in his southern accent, "The bride," really loud. And I said, "Wow, that's amazing." And Eddie said that was not just not a teaching he had heard from those CDs, and he had been listening to those same CDs over and over and over, and that teaching wasn't among them. And I told him it's yet another confirmation for UBM and David that God must really want him to keep listening if he is making them play even without the CDs. Praise the Lord. And, you know, this reminded me of a dentist in Gulf Breeze, Florida, which was not far from my home when I lived down in Pensacola, who was given some of our videos by a lady that was handing them out to watch. And he kept putting her off and not watching them. One day his office burned down. The only thing left in the middle of the ashes was these plastic DVDs that miraculously survived the fire. They were sitting on a half-melted metal coffee table. The CDs survived perfectly. And the dentist was so shocked that he contacted Bernice, and he told her that he was not going to put off watching those videos anymore. Well, anyway, Eve gave us an update the next day. She said, "Anything is possible. That's what I'm learning. Eddie said you are still teaching in his truck, and he never did put another CD in this morning, and the radio is stuck on the CD function." And then she goes on. So he said, "My CD player in my truck," this is Eddie's report, he said, "My CD player in my truck is not a stackable CD player. It will only allow one CD at a time. I pushed eject to make sure nothing else was in the CD player. When I took Hidden Manna 2 out of my CD player, that's when the miraculous teaching started. It was about the bride. I have no CD about the bride in my collection. It's Tuesday now, and my CD player is still playing without any CD, and it's still about the bride. I still have the Hitman CD next to me that I was going to put into the CD player. It's an absolute miracle." Well, that was just one of many miracles that happened after the Lord anointed me that way. Here's a confirmation, Debbie Armstrong. She said, "On Thursday morning, I went to download Wednesday night's UBM message to my computer so that I could put it in on my MP3 player and listen to it on my way to work. I downloaded it and then I opened it in my media player and listened to the first 15 minutes or so while it downloaded to my MP3 player. It was the testimony of Eddie Brass CD player continuing to play the warning about getting in the bride of Christ after he had taken the CD out of the player. I got my MP3 player and turned everything off and closed all programs on my computer, but the message continued to play. I checked everything, and nothing was on, but the message continued to play. Wow! So I left the house and went on to work, and it was still playing, praise the Lord. The message about the bride of Christ getting ready is so important. Time is very short. And I'm not going to share with you some of the longer ones. I'm going to share with you the shortest ones, actually. Here's one, Pamela Orr. She said, I was talking with my son by phone today. He lives in Florida. We always discuss spiritual things. I truly appreciate what the Father is doing in my son's life. I told him about CD players without CDs playing out of the blue with warnings to be in the bride by getting rid of sin. We spoke of how God will not be stopped from having his bride spotless. And after we discussed this, he got quiet and asked me if he could call me a little bit later. So something had bothered him about that, and he called a little later. And when he called back, it was to confirm the facts to me. He told me that sometime during the days of last Tuesday to Thursday, that was the 3rd through the 5th, remember I shared with you about the 1st and the 2nd, he was sitting in a meeting with his Android phone in his pocket on screen lock, which is his policy during meetings. In the middle of the meeting, he heard a man's voice coming through his pocket, and he thought, what in the world? I'm on screen lock. He then took measures to shut it down. He said he noticed later that it was UBM and was very puzzled, but he didn't know what to do with it, so he sort of shrugged it off. And after we talked for the first time today, he double-checked the facts and was taken aback for a couple of reasons. First of all, he had downloaded this teaching, having described it to me as 48 minutes on Planet X, while traveling in his vehicle. At the time, he had traveled into a bad reception and thought that the download failed. He had never listened to the teaching, not realizing that it was even on his Android phone. And sometime after the anomaly or miracle of last week, whether today or earlier, I'm not sure, he checked on his phone and discovered that it had not only downloaded once, it had actually downloaded twice. And as I said earlier, on screen lock, this unknown download began speaking last week to a meeting of men. Interesting. Here's another one. CD keeps playing, Bride's Message. I have also been listening to UBM downloads on CDs in my van from 1-1-12 through 1-4-12. Every time I got into my van, my single disc player started playing. It would start out with the message on the bride. And this is not something that it has ever done before. It's always picked up where it last was playing. The first day this happened to me two times, and once when I was headed to the corner store, and once on the way back, I did not think much about it. Then the second day, I had several errands to run that evening, and it happened eight times, always starting off with the message of the bride. I thought about skipping to the next track, and in the same thought, said to myself, no, the Lord my God is sovereign, and I need to listen to what God has to tell me. On the third and fourth days, it happened about four more times. Then I visited the UBM site on January the 12th to catch up on the broadcast, and I clicked on the update and read the testimony of Eddie Brast. Tears of joy filled my eyes and ran down my face at how thankful I was to the Lord for every sign and blessing and trial that He has given me. Without any doubt, this is a miraculous sign to get all things ready for the 100% prepared here in these last days. Thank you, Heavenly Father, etc., etc. Here's Robin Schenck. Back in October, my friend Linda gave me a DVD with some messianic music she really wanted me to hear. Well, I brought the DVD home, put it in the desktop computer drive. To my surprise, a UBM teaching by David Eales began to play instead of the music. I tried multiple times over several days to reload the disc into the drive, and it would only play this UBM teaching audio file. Though I can't now recall the message that kept playing, I checked the drive to make sure nothing else was stuck in it, but to no avail, nothing amiss with the disk drive. No other disk could possibly go into the drive because it is not a stackable drive and holds and plays only one DVD or CD at a time. There was also no disk in the second drive above it where one can burn CDs and DVDs. Well, I got back to Linda and I told her what kept happening. She took the disk back and played it just fine at her house. I believe the next disc she gave me, she had redone altogether, burning the video to a new disc. I tried it again with the same result, that same UBM teaching. So I just listened to the teaching several times, presuming that it has to be something the Lord needs me to hear. So anyway, she put the DVD into her laptop computer drive, and voila, it played messianic music just fine. I put it into my desktop again to see if it would play the music. Nope, only played the teaching in the desktop, but the music in my laptop's DVD drive. Okay, so I just told you that because God confirms and has with us for years His Word, and He does it with signs and wonders. Now I want to show you. You remember Eve's dream. I want to share with you what the Lord gave me concerning where we're at. Where are we at this time? I can tell you this. You need to run after God with all of your heart. The door is closing on the bride. We got many confirmations of that, and they're on our site, that the door is closing to be in the bride. The bride is going to escape, not because she's going to fly away, but because she's in the king's house. Okay? Now, in Esther chapter 2, the Lord gave me this supernaturally. I asked Him for a word, and I flipped my Bible open and stuck my finger down right on top of this where God was dividing the bride from the rest of the people, exactly as Eve's dream. Now, this division has been happening for a while, and we're in the last stage of it now. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, we're in the last stage of it. In this stage, everybody that's left will leave the top floor. The only ones that will be left is the man, child, and the bride. You want to hear the story? It's right here in Esther chapter 2, exactly what He gave me. Do you remember the story of Ahasuerus, how he called Vashti, representing Israel. She wouldn't come, and he decided to choose a new bride. And so he gathered all the fair maidens of his kingdom. All the virgins of the kingdom was being gathered together. So with that, I'm going to read the part that he gave me. There was a certain Jew in Shushan the palace whose name was Mordecai. Means little boy or little man. Which we get man-child from, right? The son of Jeor, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives that had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was fair and beautiful. And when her father and mother were dead, Mordecai took her for his own daughter. So it came to pass. I mean, Jesus, by the way, was given authority with the bride. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, okay? His job, the man-child's job, is to raise up the bride and the body of Christ, by the way. Jesus not only raised up the bride, He raised up the fivefold ministry. He sent them forth. He sent the apostles forth. And there was a great revival. We got a revival coming that's bigger than that by far. But it's going to be the same kind of revival. The same kind. So it came to pass when the king's commandment or his decree was heard that when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that was the king's chamberlain, that represents the Holy Spirit, that Esther was taken into the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. All the women. Not just Esther, but all the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her her things for purification with her portions. He speedily, what? She pleased the Holy Spirit, and he speedily gave her her things for purification. You know, when Eve went to the bathroom on the way up to the top floor, she said almost immediately after that she was there, right underneath the top floor. Excuse me. I'll turn that thing off.
If you're just tuning in, we've got David Ells on tonight. Brother David, we have about 10 minutes left, but I could extend you an additional half hour if you have that available. What would you like to do?
Well, that'd be fine.
Okay. Sure. Can we want to go to 7:30? Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
All right. We're live right now with David Ells of Unleavened Bread Ministries. Continue on, brother.
Okay. So, if you please the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, who agrees totally with the Scriptures, and if you love the Lord enough to keep His Word, you will please the Holy Spirit. If you please the Holy Spirit, He can speedily give you the things for purification. And it goes on to say, and with her portions, and the seven maidens who were meet to be given her out of the king's house. The seven maidens are the seven attributes of godliness that are mentioned in 2 Peter 1:5-7. And yes, and there is only seven there because the comma is in the wrong place. All of them are in faith, folks. Everything is in faith. Faith gives you everything that God has, you know. So I don't have time to go into that, but I'll go into it some other time. But anyway, and he removed her. He gave her her things for purification, and he removed her and her maidens, that is the attributes of God, to the best place of the house of the women, a separation. See, this is where we're at. This separation of separating the bride from the virgins is happening. Do you know how it's happening? I'm telling you the truth that the Lord God showed unto me. He's using factious spirits to separate them from the bride. He is testing people with these factious spirits to see if they have love, to see if they will repent, to see if they will turn away from every voice but the voice of the groom. He is testing. And those that please the Holy Spirit will speedily be given purification. So he removed her and her maidens to the best place, like the penthouse, you know, of the house of the women. Esther had not made known her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not make it known. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what would become of her. Now, when the turn of every maiden was come to go in to the king, Ahasuerus, after that it had been done to her according to the law for the women, 12 months for so were the days of their purification. Remember, he already talked about that. Now he's just breaking it down a little bit. But leading up to the next stage, this last stage of separation was this purification. Okay, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with the things for the purifying of the women. Then in this wise came the maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given to her to go with her out of the house of the women into the king's house. Whatsoever she desired. So, you know what? God wants to know what you desire. He wants to know what's important to you. He's going to offer many other things out there, you see. But the thing about the bride, read Song of Solomon. The bride has one overwhelming desire to be with the King of Kings. And everything else is nothing compared to that. Whatsoever she desired was given to her. See, God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He puts desires in our heart. You want a desire to run after God? Do something with what He's given you now. You know, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, What does he do? He puts more light in front of you. The path of the righteous is as a dawning light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. You know, if you desire it, it will be given you. If you don't desire it, if you show that your desire is for other things, like the queens and the concubines of Song of Solomon, well then, you're just kind of ho-hum about the bridegroom. He wants somebody that loves him. And that's what he's going to have. So anything that she desired was given to her to go out of the house of the women unto the house, unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, who kept the concubines. Okay, so you can be a concubine, or you can be the wife that has the husband. Okay. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and she were called by name. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. She didn't want anything that displeased Haggai, the king's chamberlain, representing the Holy Spirit. She wanted to do nothing but to please the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, folks, the Holy Spirit will never disagree with God's word. Many Christians do, because they have selfish ambition. They have idols. All these things is what this crucifixion is coming for. When God gets through, his people will have the fear of the Lord. They will tremble before the word of God. They will humble themselves to the word of God. Pity that they're not doing it now, because they would escape great trouble. But before it's over, this will happen. For those that live through it, this will happen. Okay. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. So we want nothing but what the Holy Spirit gives us, right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But if you walk after the flesh, you must die. You understand, saints? There are many of God's people walking after the flesh now. That's why a tribulation is needed before the coming of the Lord. That's why the epiphany is needed before the parousia. And that's what the Bible declares. No, Jesus is not coming in the air right now. He's coming in his people right now. And it's going to be a crucifixion to them, because you have to lose your life to gain your life, and he is your life. And so you must lose your life. That means you have to give up what you believe for what the Bible says. Read the Bible like it's a new book. Read the New Testament especially like it's a new book. Don't let anybody tell you what it says. Ask the Holy Spirit to tell you what it says. And please the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit is grieved, obviously when you know what's right and you don't do it. The Bible says, if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. Pity God's people don't understand they don't always have a sacrifice when they walk in rebellion. There is no sacrifice for that. That's something you got to pay for. If you walk in willful disobedience, you will pay for your own sin. Jesus did not pay for it. Did you understand what he said in Hebrews 10:26? You will pay for that. So I say, and many of people of God are walking in willful disobedience, but they think it's okay. They think it's okay. The blood of Jesus covers them. No, it doesn't. No, not the soul that sins with a high hand will be cut off from among the people. That's what the Lord said. So anyway, we don't need anything but what the Holy Spirit wants to give. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus, into his house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the seventh year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor and kindness in the sight of more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now, here's when the bride is chosen. That's when the book of Revelation chapter 12 tells you the tribulation starts. There's two things that start before that, and that is the separation of the bride, the sanctification of the bride. Is she perfected at the beginning of the tribulation period? Only in spirit. Only in the spiritual man, I should say. Not just in spirit, but the spiritual man. Do you know what the spiritual man is? Do you know what the carnal man is? The spiritual man is your spirit and the part of your soul that has become spiritual through relationship with the Spirit of God through your spirit. The carnal man is your flesh and the part of your soul that we call soulish, which is fleshly. It has not taken on the nature of Jesus Christ. And as the outer man decays, of course, the inner man is being renewed. As you die, there is also Christ in you, the hope of glory, that takes your place. You know, you went down in the waters of baptism. Who is it that came up? Jesus Christ came up. You went down, you died, you no longer live, Christ lives in you. That's the gospel. You see, I'm not telling you something that's impossible. I'm not telling you I'm telling you that it's not impossible for you to be obedient and holy and have a desire to follow after God. It's His plan. It's not impossible. He is the one. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Okay, the gospel is the power of God? Yeah, the good news of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, which is your crucifixion, and the reconciliation, which means an exchange of His life for your life. You were crucified with Christ. You don't live anymore. He lives in you. When you come up out of the waters of baptism, you died down there. That's a type and a shadow and a thing that we exercise faith in to let the Word of God put to death this old life while we see Christ. The one that comes up is Christ in you. The Bible says we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Well, that sounds like blasphemy to a lot of people. But it's the Word of God. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. You see, we behold in a mirror. We reckon it done. We reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. And while we do that, and we walk by faith in Him, He empowers us to keep His Word. And it comes naturally to you. It doesn't come through struggle. It doesn't come through New Year's resolutions. It doesn't come through any of that garbage. You can't be condemned into it even. Condemnation is the opposite of faith. Condemnation comes to those who don't want faith and don't accept faith and rebel against God willfully. Condemnation comes to them. But to those who want to serve God, they're just failing Him. What you need is faith, not condemnation. Condemnation is for people under the law. Grace is for people under grace. And grace comes through faith. And God will fill you with His faith. It's a gift from God. By grace have you been saved. Through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. You see, many men have many ideas about how to serve God, but they're not following the Holy Spirit, and they're not empowered of God to walk in His steps. That's a gift from God, an empowering from Him to walk in His steps, to walk in the steps of Jesus with signs and wonders and miracles. I was a baby Christian when I entered into signs and wonders and miracles. And I didn't know because I hadn't gone to any religion at the time. The only thing I'd done is I got trapped by the Word of God. My Baptist friend told me, man, you need to read the Bible. It's awesome. You know, it's all these miracles and stuff. And I said, well, I got curious, but I started reading it. I had no desire to serve God. I had no desire to do anything but live my playboy life. That's the only thing I wanted. But I got curious because I was curious about supernatural things. So I started reading the Word of God, and it grabbed me. It was like another person came on me, you know. It just grabbed me. I could not put the book down. I could not put it down. Everybody thought I'd gone crazy. And I guess I had. But, you know, I realized that the one who wrote that book, and I wasn't raised that way. I was raised a Catholic, and they didn't encourage people reading the book because it obviously blows Catholicism out of the water. Okay? So I read that book, and I was amazed at the things I didn't learn in catechism, you know. I was amazed at the things I didn't know about God, and I was very interested. And before I knew it, I really wanted to serve Him, and I really wanted to know about Him. And I searched and searched. I was like that Shulamite in there, looking for God, looking for anything I could do to please God. Man, I gave up this and gave up that. I did it because it was in my heart. I didn't have to struggle to give up smoking dope. You know, one day I was sitting there one day and I remembered I got a lid of marijuana up there in that cabinet. I haven't touched it in a month. So I got it down and flushed it. I never looked back. You know, gave up my alcohol, never looked back. It wasn't me. It was Jesus. It was grace. And I was reading this Bible and it was putting faith in my heart. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. Ask God to give you a love for His Word and the truth. You will give up your idols. You'll give up your dead religion, just like those Jews that came out from among them and followed Jesus. You know what He called them? The church. The called out ones. What were they called out of? The denominations of Judaism. Every last one of them. All of them rejected Jesus. He was their creator. And they all rejected Him. But the ones that came out from among them, He called them the church. Now I want to tell you, you need to repent. You need to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And don't touch the unclean thing. And I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. You need to come out from among them. You're the called out ones. They were called out of the denominations of apostasy. You are too. You want to be in the bride? Well, there are 70 queens and 80 concubines. You can be with the rest of them. All the little groups out there that love God to a certain extent, but are not running after Him fanatically like the Shulamite was in Song of Solomon. Or you can be her who the Bible said is one. She is one. What does that mean? She's one with God? She's not scattered. She's not schismed. She's not dominated. She's not defiled with women. Revelation 14 says, the women he's talking about is all the different sects of Christianity. You see, the only thing you got, saints, that you know is the truth is this Word. It's proven to be the truth. There's a perfect numeric pattern going through this book, and there is none like that and none other. This book is proven to be the Word of God. If you got to stay home from church to find out who God is and what the church really looks like, then do it. Fast from all that garbage that's going in. Put the pure Word of God in. There's no denominations out there following the Lord. Don't be deceived about all their glorious beginnings, because none of them stayed there. They all fell away. Just like every denomination always has. Okay? So follow God. Get in the Word. Find out what He wants you to do. Don't matter if nobody else is going there, saints. You go there. If you want to be the first fruits, you got to be out front. Okay? The first fruits is the ones that hear and obey. You know, faith is accounted as righteousness. Even if you haven't manifested everything, but you're walking by faith in it, you've received it as a gift from God by faith, He is imputing righteousness to you until you get there. You understand? That is a precious gift from God. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit. Obey the Word of God. Esther is being separated from the church, if you want to call it that, but it's not. She's been separated from the New Testament people of God right now. The last stage of this separation is happening now, I'm telling you. The other thing that's happening is the dragon is seeking to devour the man-child before the 3.5 years of Revelation 12 starts. Because if he can get the man-child out of the way, he can also have the bride. And if he can't get the man-child out of the way, he can't have the bride. So he's making war against the leaders. Saints, read the scriptures. Every time God sent a prophet, they were hated. They were ridiculed. They were slandered. Anyone who lives righteously in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, the Bible says. Don't run from the persecution. Don't try to please the people that are trying to mold you in their image, or try to take over your work or your ministry, or to bring you under subjection to their Jezebel spirits. Don't give in to none of that. That's part of the trial. Do you want to be the one that pleases God, the one that is beautiful to God? Well, those attributes in 2 Peter, let those be your attributes. And you know what? They can be yours. Can I go there just for a moment? Since we've got a little bit extra time, I want to look at 2 Peter and read that to you. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start, it says in verse 2, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Grace is what you need for everything. Grace is God's unmerited favor to be what you need to be and to overcome who you need to overcome. Everything's there. Seeing that his divine power hath granted. Now here's the good news. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Did you see? The same thing was said in Esther. Everything she wanted was given to her. To go from the house of the women into the house of the king. And all things that pertain unto life and godliness, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's God's life, Zoe, right? Through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. The knowledge of him. Well, you need the knowledge of him more than you need anything. Because it's the knowledge that you exercise, the faith, that brings you the fruit, right? We want to have the fruit of Jesus Christ. We want to walk in his image. And the way to do that is 2 Corinthians 3:18. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Well, in other words, we accept the gift right up front. We call the things that be not as though they were. We speak the end from the beginning. We speak it out of our mouth. How are you doing, saints? You're blessed above all things. You have all things that pertain in life and godliness. Confess him before men. Confess the gospel. If you confess him before men, the high priest of your confession, Jesus Christ, will confess you before the Father, and he will confess you before the holy angels. And I tell you that you get exactly what you believe and what you confess right there because of that. It says, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. What a powerful promise from God. He's granted to you everything. Everything that pertains to godliness. And through the faith in these precious and exceeding great promises, we partake of his divine nature. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. Now, there's no comma behind diligence. There wasn't in the original. He's talking about being diligent in your faith. That's not one of the attributes here. Everything is in faith. I started to tell you that earlier. He says, on this very cause, on your part, all diligence in your faith. supplying virtue. And loneliness. And actually it says in the original, in your virtue, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. Notice that each one of them is in. All of them are in faith. Faith gives you the door to everything, you see. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Believe God's promises. Believe the good news that He has already given all this to you. You don't have to attain to it. You have to accept it as a free gift. The Holy Spirit will put it in you freely as a gift. Don't think you're struggling to climb up this staircase with your own strength. All she needed to do was get rid of the waste. Repent. Drop these things that are just weights. It says the weight and the sin that so easily beset you, and run with patience the race. Right? There are weights that you carry that they're just holding you back. You're distracted. Read about the Shulamite. Look at her. That lady was fanatic about running after the Lord. And God can put that in your heart. It's a gift. He will put it in your heart. Ask Him for it. It has to be important to you. Remember, what she desired was given unto her. See, some people just pray prayers. They don't ever expect them to be answered. And they don't have a whole lot of desire, because the moment they feel like it, they haven't been answered, they just go on their own way and do other things, you know. Distracted by the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, and the seed is choked and becomes unfruitful. Right? Yea, and for this very cause, adding in your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you not idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, knowledge gives you these gifts. And then these gifts give you knowledge. Did you notice that? Wow. For he that lacketh these things is blind. Why is a person blind if they lack these things? They don't see the gospel. They don't see the method by which God gives these gifts freely. These attributes of Christ freely. They don't see it. They're blind. And he says, seeing only what is near. In other words, they've got their eyes on the things of the world. They don't have their eyes on Jesus or on the promise. They got their eyes on their flesh. They're looking in the mirror and seeing themselves. They're not looking in there to see Jesus. See, you got to believe you have received. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received. It's past tense. Even in the received text, it's past tense. Believe you received them and you shall have them. Everything you ask God for, believe you've received it. He calls it the rest. Because when you believe you've received it, you enter into the rest. He that hath believed doth enter into the rest. It's a spiritual New Testament Sabbath. A ceasing from your own works to do God's works. Okay? He said, for he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. He forgot his sins were nailed to the cross. He forgot they were taken away. He forgot what Paul said in Romans 6. He made you free from sin. See, you don't have a problem with sin. You have a problem with unbelief. He made you free from sin. When you went down in that baptism, what happened? You died. Who came up? Jesus. He made you free from sin, right? Reckon yourself to be dead in sin, but alive unto God, he says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Did you hear what he said? Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, and let not sin therefore. In other words, because of this, you don't have to let sin reign in your body, because Jesus already gave you the victory. You see, you need to get your eyes on the good news. It's the power of God to save the one that believes it, you see. So they forgot the cleansing of their old sins. They forgot they don't have their sin anymore. Did you? If Paul said you are made free from sin, and the Holy Spirit made him say that, then you're made free from sin. Do you believe it? Do you believe that he gave you his righteousness? He made reconciliation? That he gave you his life in exchange for yours, and he nailed yours on the cross? That's the gospel. You are free. Don't keep running around telling people you're a sinner saved by grace. That's an oxymoron. You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. Now, do you confess that you are saved by grace? That's the important thing. If you will walk by faith, if you will speak and confess Him before men, He will confess you before the Father. He is a high priest. He has to have something to offer the Father. What He offers the Father is your confession of what the Word says. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Abraham believed God, and he was accounted righteous. So he says that the reason they're not receiving any of this is they forgot they were cleansed for their old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. Pay attention. Pay attention. You probably know if you've been called, but you can't prove that you are chosen. The word election, eklektos, means chosen. You know why? Because the chosen were the ones that bore fruit. The Lord's going out into His field, and He's going to pick the fruit. He ain't interested in the plant. The plant gets plowed under. It's not the old flesh. It's the fruit. And the fruit is Jesus Christ. And it's these attributes right here that He's mentioning here. So, you have to make your calling and your election sure. Because many are called, but few are chosen. The word eklektos means chosen. Do you want to be chosen? Do you want to be chosen for the bride? You have to bear fruit. And guess what? Jesus already gave it to you. Do you believe? Stop looking at yourself in the mirror. Don't look at your failure. Don't look at your foolishness. Don't look at your foolishness, because you're beholding Jesus in the mirror. You're accepting this free gift by faith. Faith is accounted as righteousness until righteousness is manifested, and it will be manifested to those that have faith. You receive everything. Jesus said, everything you pray for. Jesus said, everything you pray for, believe you have received it, and you shall have it. And if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice who is entering the kingdom. Do you think that you have to leave this life to enter the kingdom? No, you better enter the kingdom here and now. If you don't, you will never enter into the presence of God. The kingdom of God is in our midst right now. It's where He rules. Okay? If you... Is there any law against someone who practices these virtues that He's just spoken? No. What's happening to this person? They're entering into the kingdom of God. You know what's a dangerous place to live in? The kingdom of the world. It's dangerous. But if you enter into the kingdom of God, there's no danger there. The more you enter into it, the more you bear the fruit of these attributes that we see here. The seven maidens that were given to the bride. Now we know who the bride is, don't we? You know what? The bride has no more personal power than you do. The power comes from God because of your faith in Him. Don't be double-minded. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. Don't be double-minded. You know what the gospel is. It's the good news. A lot of people out there preaching the bad news. Oh, you got to do this. Oh, you got to do that. We got to do nothing. We got to believe God. He will do it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not what you can do. It's what He can do through you, a willing vessel. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, unless you agree with God's word and say, Lord, you're right. I've been wrong. I see what it says here. It's very plain. A child could read this and tell the truth, but somebody who has selfish ambition can't see it. A child can read it and tell the truth. Okay? I know I've been wrong, Lord. I agree with your word. This is the truth. But Lord, I can't do it on my own. You did it for me. I accept your gift. He will give it to you freely, but you can't pay for it. You can't earn it. He will not permit it. It's like picking yourself up by your bootstraps. Not possible, right? That's right. So it takes something without to reach in and pick you up. And that's God. And he does it when you exercise faith. And when you don't exercise faith and you think you can do it on your own, he just stands back and watches, waits for you to wear out and then say, Lord, I can't do it. But he can. And he can do it quickly if you'll please the Holy Spirit. Now, you know what the Lord's been dealing with you about. Obey him. You know what the Word of God says. Don't let any spirit come and talk to you and tell you this is the Word of the Spirit of God when it disagrees with God's Word. Don't let that happen. That's the kind of foolishness that's overcoming Christianity. Oh, I heard the Lord said this. The Lord said that. He told me this. He told me that. Well, how come it don't agree with the Word? Because it's a lying spirit. He's telling you what you want to hear. Idols. Christianity is full of them. That's why we need a tribulation, to get rid of all that stuff. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you want to enter his kingdom? It's a progressive thing, you know. That means putting everything under the leadership of God, the kingdom of God. That means putting everything under his leadership. So it is a progressive thing. It's a progressive thing of bearing fruit. While you're progressing, if you're walking by faith and you have that goal out there, you're not seeing only what is near, only right in front of your face, which is your problem, your failure, your sin. You're seeing the end way out there from the beginning. When you get your eyes on that, God can bring it to pass. I had a vision many years ago. I was walking through the woods. I came upon this stream. I jumped into the stream, flipped over on my back, and while my eyes were on the sun, strangely as it seemed, I went upstream on my back, totally against nature. I went upstream. And as long as I kept my eyes on the sun, I could go contrary to human nature. I was going upstream. Then I realized there were some other people out there that had their eyes on the sun, and they were going upstream too. And then, as we went up the stream, in this vision, I saw somebody had stretched a tent out over part of the stream. And as these people that were with me drifted up underneath this tent, and they lost sight of the sun, they sank to the bottom. Guess you can see the parable there, right? You know what the tent represents? Religion. They sunk to the bottom. So I jumped out on the bank, got a knife and cut the ropes that held the tent up. The tent hit the water and started floating away, downstream, by the way. Then I started making floats to float these people up to the top so they could see the sun again. And as soon as they saw the sun, they could continue their journey. And I had several visions like that. I had another one whereby my wife and I were sitting out on the front of our house, and we were looking, resting in the lawn chairs. I call it the rest. It's the spiritual Sabbath. It's ceasing from your works as God did from his, so that, of course, God can do his works, right? So we were resting, and I saw this power line going by in front of the house there. And strange thing, it was sagging in the middle between the poles. It was almost touching the ground. And while I watched this, a tornado came over the top of that power line and picked me up out of my chair and carried me away. And before I tell you the rest of that vision, he told me that that power line represented the power of man coming to an end in my life. And the power of God, which is the whirlwind, he claims it, by the way, taken over. And when I was carried away, there was a second part of the vision. And I was walking through this church. You know, they call them churches. You know, obviously we are the church, you know, but they call them churches. And I went in the foyer, as they call it, and there was an old man standing there. And this old man, I avoided him like he had the plague. You know, I mean, I just kind of hugged the wall and went around the outside of him, and then I went into what they call the sanctuary. It's really not, but they call it the sanctuary. So I went in there, and then I looked across in the middle of this sanctuary, and here was this double sink full of babies. in the water, dead. I ran over, or at least I thought they were all dead. I ran over there and grabbed one of the babies up out of the water and turned his face up. They were all face down in the water. And turned his face up towards the sun. And when I did that, he spoke. He said, "Oh, thank God. I knew he was going to send somebody." And I knew that that old man was the preacher of that church and that he was misusing the water of the word to get people's eyes on themselves through condemnation and manipulation instead of giving them the gospel. And turning the face up to the sun, that's giving them the gospel. Get your eyes on Jesus. It's not you, saint. You can't ever make it without him. And you put your faith on him, he will get you there. And a lot of people manipulate the word. A lot of preachers are doing that. But you need the gospel, the good, the true gospel. Okay,
Brother David,
yes,
we are out of time for tonight.
All right.
Folks, if you're coming in late, if you want to get this, this could be the most important broadcast we've done on Omega Man Radio. We're going to have to call this one part one because we're just getting started. Brother David, as we're closing tonight, would you be available to come back on next week?
You're trying to put me on the spot, aren't you?
Yes, sir. But I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll cut you some slack. I will, I'll contact you tomorrow and I'll find out what day is available. I'll let you look at your schedule
first. Okay.
Well, we got to have you back on, brother. As we're closing tonight.
Lord willing.
Brother David, would you tell people how they can contact you, your website, and also support your ministry, please?
Well, you can go to our website. That's one way people support our ministry. We don't take up offerings or anything like that. We just put our trust in the Lord, and people send us whatever we're supposed to get. And but the main thing is, if you go there, I believe you're going to learn a lot, because to me, the only thing that we can be founding everything that we do on is the Word of God, you know, and that's what's magnified there. And there are many books there for you to read. You can read them freely. You download them freely. If you ask for materials, they'll send you the materials, discs and CDs and things like that, you know.
What is that website?
There's a place there. People can give an offering if they want. If they don't, well, they'll still get it. So,
what is that website?
UnleavenedBreadMinistries.org. A short way is UBM1.org. Some people may recognize it as americaslastdays.com. All of those go to the same place. UBM1.org is
UBM number
is a
one
way.
Dot org. Also, UBM. You mentioned that you're doing a regular broadcast each week. What days and times can people tune into those?
Well, you can go to the front page of our site and go right into it. We have them on Wednesday nights and also Sunday nights.
Praise the Lord. Now, also, you just came out with a new book. Can you give us a title on that?
Well, we've got a whole bunch of new books. Yeah, I can give you some titles of some of them. We have one, A Sovereign God for Us and Through Us, which is all about God doing his work through you. It's a miraculous book. It's changed a lot of people's lives. You can download it from our site. Hidden Manna for the End Times, which is Word of Knowledge and Word of Wisdom that gave me the foundation for all of those things. Perfection Through Christ, How Shall We Die, is basically us losing our life and the methods that God gives us for doing that so that we can gain his life. The Man, Child, and Bride Prophecy, which is about the man, child, and the bride, which the foundation of it was given to me by the Word. Not destructive demon doctrines. Are you following a wolf? The tongue conquers the curse. Weakness, the way to God's power. Speak grace, not condemnation. The curse of unforgiveness. Salvation, instant and progressive. What has been shall be. The Father's gift, the Holy Spirit. Those are books that we have that we've written, and they're on our site. Anybody can download them and read them. And
oh man, this is good stuff, folks. UBM1.org, americaslastdays.com, or unleavenedbreadministries.com. One more time, David. What days do you broadcast, and what time can they tune in over at your website?
Well, it's Sunday and Wednesday night from 9 to 11 Eastern Time. Obviously, regresses as we go back towards the west. That Eastern time is 9 to 11.
Sunday and Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time, correct?
Yes. Central time, 8 to 10 Eastern time.
I've got one final bonus question.
Central time, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And you really don't have enough time to answer this as it needs to be answered, but there's a lot of people right now calling for people to take arms, join in what they want to be the next American Revolution. What's God's take on that?
Well, I hope you will go to our site and look, any of you out there, and read here an article that I put in here. It's about should Christians physically fight with flesh and blood to take America back. This thing will save your lives. I mean, there are some words in here that just, you know, they help people to overcome that desire to defend self. If you defend yourself, God will not defend you. If you let Him defend you, if you fight, with His weapons of warfare against the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, you will have success. If you fight with the flesh and blood that are victims of these principalities and powers, you will lose. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you God is going to clean out Christianity from the people who are going to go out and kill people to take this country back. They never had it in the first place.
That's right.
Praise God. So
that article is called The Sword of the Cross, correct?
Yes.
Folks, this is something you want to read. It will save your life. David, I'm out of time. We love you, but I will call you the next day or so, and we'll get you scheduled for next week, my friend.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. This is good stuff.
All right. God bless you,
my friend.
Love you, saints.
Thank you, Brother
David.
Go
with God. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. That was David Ells. All right.
Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order made payable to Bruce Lee at 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.